Mature Audio. Hello everyone, this is Jim Boy Star, and it is the final episode of the Sunset Flip Wrestling Show of the year. But you know what? It could actually be the final episode ever, and not by my choice. Simply because the world could end in the new year. The first hour, it's all about Christmas, we're all happy and jolly. Second hour, what if this is it?
The following program is for mature audiences only. This program may contain foul language and sexual content. For those that are listening, please be advised.
All right, everyone, Jim Boy Star here, and it is the last episode of the Sunset Flip Wrestling Show, 2-hour special right here on Decadance Radio, alongside with Bill.
Ho, 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 hello.
Yeah, no, he's not Santa Claus. Jeff.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Okay, at least he didn't try to be all jolly like Bill was trying to be. And finally, the Mad Scientist.
What's up, guys?
I don't know, Mad Scientist, you're breaking up a little over there. Let's see what's, we're off to a great start here on the Sunset Flip Wrestling Show. You know, maybe it's kind of, justified, since our lives may be ending soon. But you know what, that's the second hour. The first hour is all about looking back at the new year, some Christmas stuff, I guess, you know, Christmas season's upon us. And happy holidays to everyone listening. Do you guys want to reveal a particular thing you look forward to for Christmas at all? On the spot, huh?
No reply.
Wow, okay. I guess they're just sitting at home.
I think the biggest thing we look forward to at Christmas is the credit card bills.
I'm looking forward to see how much damage my nephews can do.
What about you, Mad Scientist?
I'm looking forward to the Royal Rumble here in St. Louis. I'm ready for that.
That's if we're still alive, though.
Oh, well, they say the world's not supposed to end until December 23rd or something of 2012. I don't know.
Yes, if you listen to the Final Battle Show, because that's on sunsetflipwrestling.podomatic.com, apparently there's a website dedicated to a certain date. I don't remember off the top of my head, but Eric is the one that found it out. But before we continue, before we get to the first topic, let me introduce to you the first of two theme songs for this particular special. You're listening to My Christmas List. It is a parody song performed by Jim Boy Star, and it is one of two official theme songs for the End of the World Roundtable. My Christmas List is a parody of 30 Seconds to Mars, The Kill. This all is a part of the End of the World Roundtable, brought to you by the Sunset Flip Wrestling Show, and aired on the Decadance Radio Network. That's right, that is one of two official theme songs. It is My Christmas List, performed by me, Jim Boy Star. Okay, so Mad Scientist wants to bring up the first topic.
Yeah, you know, talk about probably one of the biggest things in wrestling this year, the actual breaking out of CM Punk into being a superstar in wrestling, the promo, everything that he's done this year up until now, basically trying to bring change to the WWE. I think one of the biggest moment, markout moments of the year for me was definitely that promo he cut. No one knew if it was a shoot or not, you know, and going from there and really creating a lot of controversy, getting a lot of people talking. You know, I knew I talked to a lot of people that, you know, hadn't watched wrestling in a while and were like, hey, what's going on with CM Punk? You know, is he's out there cutting promos and doing all kinds of crazy stuff and talking about this and that, and got him kind of back into it. So, I mean, I think it's interesting to see, you know, where it's come from, you know, that summer all the way till now. a lot of interesting stuff going on, you know, with Daniel Bryan as the champion now and Zack Ryder as the champion, and that whole last Raw where they had him out there in Philadelphia, and it was such a crazy, you know, sight to see that those, you know, the Ring of Honor guys were in the middle of the ring as the champion, you know, champions, and you know, going forth to 2012, hoping to see a lot of interesting stuff with these, you know, these two guys, and definitely CM Punk continue his reign.
I think this was definitely Punk's year, no doubt about it. And you could even, I think you can go back a little bit further before the promo, that you could tell something special was happening. I mean, the feud with Orton, which actually ended up being in a good WrestleMania match, the short feud with Mysterio, and then the promo, you know, which is like now probably one of the most infamous and legendary promos of all time. But, you know, almost from the beginning of this year, Punk has just taken this entire year by the balls and just ran with it. And, you know, Punk is a guy who will stand up for his beliefs, stand up for his rights. And in this day and age where, you know, if you say something, you know, everyone's going to go crazy and they're going to be like, oh, why would you say that? You know, all that crap. You know, Punk did his own thing, didn't care what anybody else thought. And he's one of, if not the top stars in the WWE right now.
Well, I think what really launched CM Punk was just giving him mic time and that straight edge kind of gimmick thing he had with Festus and what have you. I think that allowed a lot of people to see that, wow, he really has some excellent mic skills. And you know the WWE loves to push guys that can do well on the mic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, yeah. And I think for me, like, I admit with everyone else, you know, it was that promo that did it, you know. And I think Bill might have revealed maybe his vote for Wrestler of the Year
in his
little thing. And, of course, Sunset Flip Wrestling Show, the 2011 awards, will be on Sunday, January 15th. It is a two-hour special. But, you know, we've talked about this on the biggest radio show of the summer earlier this year. It was a great promo, but again, for the second straight year in a row, WWE has this thing that gets people talking and then quickly drops the ball with it. Now, granted, CM Punk, yes, he became a main eventer out of all this. So maybe it wasn't completely dropped, in my opinion. However, to say that he's as popular or even as interesting now as he was back in July, I think is just plain wrong.
Yeah, I would agree with that, but I think WWE messed up in a big sense that after that promo, they taped another Raw, so that later that night you could go on and just read what happened. I think with a promo like that, unless, you know, WWE really didn't know he was going to do it, I think you know, it would have given us a week to think about what he said and is this a work or is this a shoot? And then they taped the Raw right after, you know, that same night, another one. And then it kind of just kills momentum there. And then, you know, saying after Money in the Bank when he's going to leave and take the title with him. And then he comes back real soon. I know WWE really wanted to capitalize on that, you know, so that they could, because, you know, how popular he was at the time. But they wanted to do so much stuff at once. I really don't think they ever should have took the title away from him. They should have let him run with it for a while. You know, his coming to, you know, Comic-Con and showing up places and doing things I thought was great. Soon as he came back and, you know, he did the whole thing and he had the new song and everything, I thought it was amazing and I thought it was great. And then about a month later, he kind of started fading down and they took the title away from him and he started doing the stuff with Triple H. And, you know, I don't know. It seems like WWE was a roller coaster this year with a lot of stuff. They had some really high peaks and, you know, it got really low. Like you said, you know, they did mess up just like they did, you know, the year prior with the Nexus, all that stuff that was great. And then, you know, same thing with Punk here. But I think overall, I think this was a good thing for WWE and for CM Punk to get ahead. You know, arguably the top guy right now there, and doing what he's doing, and he's obviously making change, and he obviously has some pull somehow because, you know, they're allowing him to do stuff that he wants and cut promos and, you know, do that segment on Raw this week, the opening segment, which was amazing. So I mean, I don't know. I'm just glad to see he gets, you know, where he should deserve, and, you know, he's a great wrestler and deserves everything he's getting.
Yeah, and you know, when it comes to this, you know, me saying that, you know, he's not as popular, I think the other thing that kind of went away was, you know, when he was first getting his notice or whatnot, you know, it was like, oh, this guy, he could say anything at any time, and it lasted for a little bit. I don't think he's that guy anymore. I just think they took whatever character that CM Punk had at that point and actually, you know, took a lot of that away. There's someone else I can't think of off the top of my head where they also took a character away this year, but I'm sure it'll come back to me later. You know, now to me, he just comes across as an ordinary guy, just like everyone else. Whereas in July, I was like, wow, this guy is special. Maybe even a couple months afterwards. I would have to say it was probably after the Triple H feud that he kind of wasn't really the pipe bomb thing anymore. Any thoughts from Bill or Jeff here on this one?
Well, I understand what you're talking about, but I think what they actually did, and I'm kind of giving them credit on this one, is they actually toned him down a little bit. Every week people were tuning in to see what outrageous thing he would say, and it eventually got to the point where it was like, okay, it was almost like they were trying to turn him into another Stone Cold Steve Austin, and a lot of people saw that. So I think by toning him down, giving him a little bit more of the sarcastic personality versus just the over-the-top, outrageous, in-your-face statements, I think it helped develop his character a little bit more of what he is in real life versus trying to make a character out of him.
Mm-hmm. See, and I just think he's characterless at this point. But, Bill, you were going to say something?
Well, I mean, if you think about it, what we see on TV, you know, Punk talking about, you know, the change in wrestling and, you know, seeing new guys, that's probably how he really feels, you know, behind the scenes. You know, it's not a, you know, gimmick character, you know, where it's like we want change. You know, he probably feels like that. And Mad Scientist brought a very good point up. Look at all the champions now. I don't think there's not one champion right now that is over 40, maybe even over 35. And I'm not saying Punk is responsible for that, but he may have had a little bit of pull into that. And I mean, listen to the crowd reaction Monday night on Raw. Yes, it was Philadelphia. Yes, you know, they're CM Punk fans. But wait until this Monday when they're in Chicago.
Oh, are they in Chicago this Monday?
They are in Chicago.
Yeah.
Okay.
See, I think it's interesting because like you said, Jim said that he kind of is characterless. I think they talk about a lot of times in wrestling, the people who play themselves are the best characters. You know, Stone Cold Steve Austin playing himself and you know, characters like The Rock, you know, acting like himself. I think CM Punk being himself, not being, you know, another character, he's playing himself. You know, he's playing the CM Punk character. He's playing the guy that he's, you know, played all the way through the indies up until now. And he really finally gets to show what he did on the indies. If you guys have seen anything he did on the indies, you know, promo-wise and stuff like that, and the way he talked, is exactly the same he is now. I think he's playing exactly himself. I think a lot of times in wrestling nowadays, so many fans are leaning towards MMA nowadays. You know, wrestling fans want to see something more real in wrestling. They want to see something more real. They don't want to see characters. I'm a huge fan of characters in wrestling, and it's they're very dim in wrestling these days. There's not very many. But when people see somebody like CM Punk who's being himself, he's playing himself, you know, they're like, oh, we can relate to that. You know, he's not playing a character. He's not insulting our intelligence. And I think that's why a lot of people like CM Punk, even though he's kind of characterless, you know, like Jim is saying, he's pretty much just himself. He's Phil. He's, you know, CM Punk, the character that he created, and it's pretty much just himself. And I think that's why a lot of people can relate, and that's why he's so popular with a lot of people nowadays.
And, you know, and I think part of that for me is just because I don't think there's many characters in WWE in general, and I've gone over this many, many times before. You know, kind of staying on the same subject, but kind of not here. One thing that I thought was really interesting about the whole, in 2011, was, in my opinion, for WWE and Impact Wrestling, I would have never guessed this at the beginning of the year. In my opinion, their best pay-per-views wasn't in April when it was WrestleMania, wasn't October when it was Bound for Glory. It was July when Money in the Bank happened and Destination X.
And you know, because I didn't watch a Destination X pay-per-view, but it wasn't because of my hatred for TNA. It was because I wanted to see the Money in the Bank pay-per-view. And I remember the next day after that pay-per-view, there were a couple people, you know, on, you know, different groups and message boards that were saying that that Money in the Bank pay-per-view was the greatest pay-per-view they've ever seen. I wouldn't agree to that.
Yeah, there's no way in hell I agree with that.
but that was by far...
WrestleMania 17!
I still gotta go WrestleMania 3. But anyway...
WrestleMania 19.
The Superstars, okay, but... the Superstars episode where Mantar makes his debut.
Yes!
Okay, but anyway, back...
December to Dismember, 2006.
Oh, God. But... I think for me, Money in the Bank was the best pay-per-view this year. I think. Not only because of the Punk Cena match, well, you know, which is what probably drew a lot of people in, but also, you know, the two Money in the Bank, you know, ladder matches, which both ended up being good, you know, and you had a somewhat decent match with Big Show and Mark Henry. A good world title match, which had a very good conclusion.
Wait a minute. I don't think Big Show and Mark Henry was Money in the Bank.
I thought it was.
I'm pretty sure. If someone has some computer access, if they can look it up, that'd be great. But I'm pretty sure because Sheamus, I think when Mark I was Henry. Doing...
Oh, it was Sheamus? Well, yeah, it doesn't matter.
The reason I remember that is because I remember being outraged. Like, why isn't Mark Ratings Henry in the Money in the Bank match or something like that? Like... where I didn't get why they put him in there. So, no, that was not part of Money in the Bank.
All right, but, I mean, but the whole build-up to that pay-per-view was CM Punk leaving. And I got to be honest, when I saw that pay-per-view, I honest to God did not think Punk was going, spoiler alert, Punk was going to win that match. I really did not.
Wait, how's it a spoiler alert?
There may have been people who broke up from a coma just now.
I mean, I was going to say, I always have that problem with sports, too. I hate when people are like Raw just ended. Oh, yeah, such and such. Oh, why are you spoiling it for me? No, once it airs.
It airs.
It's not my fault that you didn't make the effort to actually watch it when it happened.
Yeah. but anyway, like, you know, the fact that Punk won the title, the old cliche, my jaw literally dropped. I couldn't believe it. I was happy, but at the same time, I could not believe they pulled the trigger. I really couldn't believe it. And that's what made, you know, that whole night so special, was they were willing to take the chance on a guy like CM Punk over the quote-unquote establishment, John Cena in this case, in... probably the most hostile environment we will ever see in our life. Because if Punk loses that match, every single fan in that building in Chicago would have been arrested.
See, I don't agree with that, though. I still say that the most hostile crowd is 2006 against Rob Van Dam.
And that was very hostile, too. I think...
That was more hostile because even the crowd at Money in the Bank still had your... See, you did have the Cena... Let's go Cena sucks. Whereas, forget it, you're not even going to find that in 2006. And, in fact, you actually got fuck you Cena. You didn't get that. I didn't hear a fuck you Cena chant at Money in the Bank, although I could be wrong.
Well,
I would always say that it doesn't even come close to the hostile crowd of New York City in the... Rob Van Dam, John Cena.
How about we call
And I think Jeff was going to say, sorry, I apologize for interrupting with that.
No, that's okay, Jim. The whole point of it is, yeah, they took a chance on CM Punk, but then they did what they always do. We're going to take a chance and give it to somebody new, but we're just taking it back off you again a month later as soon as we get the chance.
Right.
I mean, they've done it with Sheamus.
Alberto Del Rio?
CM Punk. Alberto Del Rio on two separate occasions. They always have the new guy comes in, and you just know Daniel Bryan is about the most marked man in the WWE right now. He's not going to hold that title till WrestleMania.
No way. Yeah, I agree with that.
But if you think about it, Jeff, of all those people, the only exception is The Miz. I mean, Miz, when he won the belt, And I
thought we fought Jerry Lawler.
Well, yeah, exactly. The first week, Jerry Lawler. But if you think about it with The Miz, here's a guy who 4 years ago, everybody wanted him gone. Everybody hated him.
I loved The Miz then.
Well,
I was a big fan of Hoorah.
You were the only one.
Maybe, maybe. I remember getting on my friend the Big Swing Rod. I think it was a draft episode, and The Miz fought Snitsky, and you know, it was for a pick or whatnot. And I remember, I think Miz won by disqualification because Snitsky beat him up so bad, like he wouldn't stop beating him up, so they reversed the decision. Right. And my friend was so mad, and I was like, "Yes, The Miz, hoorah, hoorah, Richie, hoorah."
Yeah, but they left it on The Miz a little bit longer because, say what you will, he did have a little bit more of a legitimate name outside of wrestling circles, and it made a lot of sense to have him go on the talk show circuit leading up to the biggest event of the year.
And then he wins the main event of WrestleMania.
And then what?
Well, then he gets rock bottom. That's true. But no one can ever take away from The Miz, he won the main event of a WrestleMania.
And that's fantastic. And you know, going with The Miz and CM Punk, I love it when somebody new wins a belt. But what I would really like to see is someone actually get pushed into this upper echelon where Orton is, where Cena is.
I agree with this.
And leave them there. Sheamus dominates, comes in, beats Cena.
Oh, and I loved
heavyweight championship. And next thing you know, he's having feuds with guys that he has no business having feuds with.
And he's talking
Santino Marella.
And he's talking Speaker.
Yeah. Although I don't know. I believe that was, like, honestly, that was, when you guys are talking about The Miz, I don't know. I mean, I like him. I think his character's good. I think he's you know, a lot more improved in the ring. I still, for whatever reason, just don't take him seriously as a main eventer. I don't see him as that guy being in there with Cena, being in there with Orton, being in there with Punk anymore. You know, I don't get the feeling he's that, like, level. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is about him.
I think I know what it is. I think, and I'm sorry to interrupt you, because I just want to chime in, because I want to see if this is actually, if you think about it, what it is he doesn't look like someone, like, if you went to a bar, he would legitimately beat you up. Like, yeah, he'll beat me up because I don't work out at all except on the Kinect. but for someone like maybe that, you know, plays even just like regular, like, what do you call it? Like, if you're on a town sports team, there's a name for it.
Oh, intramural?
What? Say that one at a time. What was it?
Intramural?
That sounds right, yeah.
Semi-pro, like, or something?
Yeah, so if you're an active athlete, like, you might look at The Miz and be like, I could take him, and you know what? Based on his look, I think you might be able to. And I think that might be part of the problem, is that he doesn't look like he would be able to beat anyone.
Yeah, I mean, I think in the midst of everything that's going on in WWE right now, you know, with The Miz and then Truth and all the stuff, and, you know, Henry getting in there, I think WWE did a fabulous, fabulous job this year of really trying to get the mid-carder guys to upper mid-card guy, you know, upper mid-card to main event. Because I see guys like, you know, like Dolph Ziggler and Cody Rhodes making a jump to that main event in 2012 very soon.
Oh, yeah.
Those two guys for sure are definitely going to hit that main event scene. You know, Cody Rhodes, who I feel like, you know, quite possibly one of the best characters in all of wrestling, mainstream wrestling, WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, you know, one of the best characters in all of wrestling. And Dolph is just an absolute just monster. He's such a great wrestler. So
he's already a former world heavyweight champion. This all goes back to what Jeff said, is that they go and they give them these titles, but then they don't actually legitimately push them.
Yeah, Jack Swagger. Look at Jack Swagger this year. Jack Swagger, to me, I feel like is quite possibly the biggest disappointment of the year in WWE terms. You know, they haven't really done that much with him. They threw a mouthpiece on him, you know, with Vicky, who gets massive heat. I don't feel like Dolph needs Vicky anymore to get heat.
No.
I think Dolph is already on his way to that main event level. He's not going to need Vicky anymore. I think Swagger could still use Vicky for heat, but, you know, Swagger is just a real disappointment this year. One of the biggest disappointments in wrestling to me this year personally. I think he's can get and have a good match, but, you know, just some things that he just does and talks sometimes, and I'm just like, man, this guy needs acting lessons or something, you know. I don't know what it is, but Swagger is one of those guys that I felt like it was a real big disappointment. But Cody and Dolph are going to blow up in 2012, you know, if not already are great. I mean, I'm looking at either one of those two guys possibly winning the Royal Rumble this year, honestly.
Well, Jack Swagger goes back to something I've been saying for years. Where the hell are all these managers? I mean, you used to get guys who couldn't speak a lick. You send out, you know, classy Freddie Blassie or somebody out there who can get the heat for them that they need, and it worked. Now you've got guys, and that's what I think might be a problem with Jack Swagger, and I could see it being a problem with Cody Rhodes, too. The Dusty Rhodes way of speaking went over very well, but I just don't know if Cody is going to be able to be enough of a mouthpiece to get himself the heat to get to the level that he has the talent to get to.
Yeah. Well, I talk about Cody all the time because I think it's interesting because, you know, he's one of those guys that got himself, he got into the business because of his dad. And, you know, where he's at now is because of himself, you know, the character that he came up with, the character that he created, you know, the combination of the dashing character and the undashing character. He's not wearing the mask anymore. He brought that back, the old Intercontinental title. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, the character that he's playing now is a combination of both. It's kind of like a beautiful disaster type character that he, you know, and it's really creative to me. And whenever he speaks, I think he cuts promos well, but I think he's almost to that level. I just think once he gets to a main event level, I don't know if he can handle it as much talking as, you know, the main event guys do. But
you've got to look at why did he have to beat Booker T up twice just to be able to get. The guy hasn't wrestled in a year, but he had to blindside him twice and have the doctors take a look before he could, you know. To me, that's not how you set a guy up for a push. That's how you set a guy up to stay on the mid-card level for a while.
I don't know what happened with that pay-per-view. It's interesting because when I was watching it and they did that twice, I don't know if it's they didn't want Cody to go over clean on Booker T without, you know, him getting jumped. I don't know if that was the case or whatever. But I think – I don't know. I think it's maybe they just wanted to continue this feud with Booker T. I don't know if the plan – I don't know if they just – they don't want Booker T to just lose like that. You know what I mean? I don't know really what it is. But, I mean, it's interesting to see where they're going to go with it because – I think Cody's a guy that could get over, and I don't see why he had to do that to beat Booker T, but I don't know what they're going to do.
You know what I'm afraid of? Cody, Dolph, Swagger, move over, guys. Booker T wants to wrestle again, so let me put him in the main event for a couple of years.
No, I don't think they'll put Booker T. Booker T's got, you know, so much, or he's been in there so long, I don't think he would even want himself to be put in the main event position. You know.
Think about how many people say that, though. Look, we got to take a promo break. Sorry to cut you off here. But guess what? You know, we have the new World Heavyweight Champion, Daniel Bryan. Yes, he's the World Heavyweight Champion and all. Guess what? We are also bringing back in the New Year mixes. And this mix, in a little bit, we're going to play is Daniel Bryan mixed in with this remix of Santa Baby. It's going to be really interesting, just to show you what... I used to do these mixes before. I don't know if you guys... I know Jeff and Mad Scientist weren't around, but Bill, were you around with the mixes? Or
yeah.
Make these weird? You were. Okay, so those are coming back in the new year. And I can tell you right now, I have one for both the respective champions right now, CM Punk and Bobby Roode. And if when we air the first show, the actual first show, not the award show, and they're both champions, they'll both debut, but... We're going to take this quick promo break, and then we're going to talk some Destination X as well as Ring of Honor getting bought out by Sinclair. Let's see how they're faring. Stop in the name of love before you break my heart. But you can get over a heartbreak by checking out the Sunset Flip Wrestling Show Facebook page at www.facebook.com/Sunset Flip Show.
I don't care what I want, I will
listening to My Christmas List, a parody of 30 Seconds to Mars, The Kill, performed by Jim Boy Star. It is one of two official theme songs for the End of the World Roundtable, brought to you by the Sunset Flip Wrestling Show and airing on the Decadance Radio Network. All right, going back here, Jim Boy Star here with Jeff, Bill, and the Mad Scientist, just chatting away, talking some wrestling, looking at the year of 2011 back, and actually, we're just, you know, might as well bring it on the air. Talking about the Impact Wrestling India project. As I said to them, I think the set looks better than anything they have in the United States, which is just funny. But really, they have now, and maybe it took them a long time to do this, but they are finally going the route of pushing the originals for the most part. Mm-hmm. Bobby Roode's the champion.
Yeah. You know,
his last challenger was AJ Styles. We, of course, one of the bigger stories of the year is that Vince Russo was removed from the writing team after being there for... Mad Scientist, do you have any idea how long he was there for? I know, was it you that knew? I don't remember.
I think it's like he was writing for TNA when they started, like 2007, or not 2007, 2002. When they first started, he was writing for them. He had that, I don't know if you guys remember, he had that group called Sports Entertainment Extreme, and it was like Sex or something.
Yeah,
he came up with that, and that was in 02, and he kind of was like, you know, pushing AJ Styles really hard in 02 and 03. So, yeah, I mean, I think it was 02. He kind of hasn't been writing. He isn't writing now. So, but yeah, it's crazy to see that he's done. I mean, I can definitely tell a difference on some of the storylines that they're doing. So
that was going to be my next question. What are the differences? Because I'm curious, because I know Bill doesn't really keep up. So this is more towards Jeff and Mad Scientist. Have you noticed a difference? And if so, what?
Yeah, I mean, go ahead, Jeff.
No, please, go ahead.
I mean, you know, I've noticed some differences. I still think it's interesting that they there's certain guys that they have on their roster. Because here's what they do that I think they still do, they've been doing for years, is they'll use a certain guy for three or four tapings, and then the next three or four tapings you won't see them at all. You know, they do that with Abyss, they did that with Brian Kendrick, you know, and they still do that now, which is really bothers me. And they do that, they've been doing that with Pope. I'm a huge Pope D'Angelo De Niro fan. Finally glad to see that they're trying to use him somewhat here, but
you
I
know
think
what, just to stop you for a second, just so I can just chime in real quick here. It goes back to when me, you, and Mr. Anonymous did the round table for Bound for Glory, because we acknowledged this problem then, and you're doing it again, which is fine, but I just want to point out again, I still feel the reason for all of this is because they don't have more than 2 hours, which with commercials is more like an hour and 45, and maybe even less. I don't know. I haven't, like, you know, tabulated the commercial time. I don't keep track of that stuff. But I don't think this would be a problem if they had more time. But
yeah.
Since
well,
they
I don't,
don't
even know if it's more time. I think they honestly just need to get rid of some guys. You know, honestly, there's certain guys that they. I mean, does Garrett Bischoff deserve to be getting, you know, time on there? I mean, I know, I guess he wrestles, but. I mean, does Scott Steiner still need to get time in TNA? I mean, there's certain...
I just think it's a matter of, I think they're waiting for some contracts to run out. Like, honestly, if it would not shock me at all if Mr. Anderson was not renewed.
Yeah.
Look how downplayed he's been in the past couple of months.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and also, you know, how disheartening it must be to some of the talent, you know, guys that work their way in there to get a spot on television. And then out of nowhere, they, you know, Jeff Hardy comes back and gets back in that main event spot. I think that, I mean, I know he makes a lot of money for him, but I mean, there's guys.
And that's where it all comes down to. That's
yeah,
where it all comes
there's guys
down
out
to.
There.
I mean, I don't
and
agree
still,
with it, too, but.
Yeah, there's still guys out there. I mean, I'm glad. I mean, I don't know if Samojo just doesn't care anymore. He's just getting a paycheck. But, I mean, he does not get any time at all. I know they're running the wild card tournament.
Talk
well,
about
I mean,
your biggest disappointment.
Yeah, he's a big
oh,
disappointment.
I know. And I'll say this because I am, you know, before TNA ruined, well, not ruined, but messed up Samoa Joe, I was a huge Samoa Joe fan. And when he first came in, he was almost like Sheamus from the last segment we were talking about. He came in and he kicked everybody's ass. I mean, it didn't matter who it was, and they had this great storyline. And then when he transitioned, you know, Joe into the position to challenge for the heavyweight title, while I think he may have been, that may have been a year too late, he was still relevant. And, you know, ever since probably 2009, maybe even last year, 2010, he's almost been a non-factor, which is really sad because for his size, he is a hell of a talented wrestler.
Yeah, you know, he was definitely one of my favorite guys. Go ahead.
I think it's just been inconsistency. I mean, one week Joe's not really on at all or losing or whatnot. And then, like, when when James Storm got the championship, the first match to decide the number one contender, Samoa Joe was in that. Mm-hmm. So very inconsistent in regards to that. Jeff, I know you had a couple of things you wanted to say. Go ahead. Why don't you let that out?
Well, you guys were kind of hitting it on the head. I think the biggest problem with Vince Russo, and not that he's sucked with two previous companies before this, notwithstanding, but he picks his favorite guys, his guys like his Scott Steiners. You know, you're talking about the biggest differences since he's been gone. You know, he's there. Sting is holding the world championship. He's gone. Sting's working on a commissioner role where he's on the microphone and he's making matches and he's making things right, which I think at this point is a much better role for Sting.
Oh,
I think what they need to do now is they need to get, and I know it's impossible because of who he is, but somebody needs to do a Nancy Kerrigan on Jeff Jarrett and get him out of there, because he's a classic example of someone who's holding up a spot that someone like Samoa Joe should be.
I think he's gone now. I think him.
Yeah, I think he's gone too. I and not only that, but even before that, how much was he? He wasn't. Granted, like years ago, remember when Jeff Jarrett was like
episode? Though.
I know, and I agree with you with that in years ago, but I would say in the past 2 years that he's probably been downplayed a lot, and you know, even the stuff that, I mean, hell, he didn't even actually have a real match at Bound for Glory.
Exactly, and he ran the company. He was the founder or one of the founders for years, and look at where he is now. He's now working over in India, which I have, you know, no offense to the wonderful people of India who listen to this show, you know, and he's gone to Mexico. But, I mean, really, the whole Jeff Hardy feud, did that have any real meaning? I mean, it's all, nobody wants you here because you screwed up. You almost killed the company, blah, blah, blah.
But you know what? I think it makes sense, though, because if you look back at it, that Jeff Jarrett was the founder, obviously he would care the most. Oh, about having a Jeff Hardy come back.
Well, you know, he was the founder because he held the belt the whole time he was running it.
Well, yeah, he did.
Yeah.
But I actually thought that did make sense. But what were you saying, Mad Scientist?
Yeah, I mean, the Jeff Jarrett. I mean, the most I like Jeff Jarrett in the recent years is actually now with Karen. I think the stuff that they were doing together, the segment they had on Impact when they just got recently fired, where they were talking bad about each other and then pretending like, you know, it didn't happen. I think Karen and him play off each other really well, but I don't think he should be sucking up a spot for, you know, a wrestling match. I wouldn't mind having him around, you know, be a backstage guy and cut promos with Karen and do stuff like that. Same thing with Sting. I enjoy Sting now more than I've enjoyed Sting in a long time as the commissioner. I like him in that role. I think Sting is still, you know, relevant on the mic. I think people still like him. I just don't think he should be holding up a spot for, you know, some younger guys to get in there and wrestle. And that's, I'm glad that they're doing what they're doing with Sting. And I think that works well.
And let me bring this up too. One other thing that I think of when I think of this year is basically the reinvention of Sting from going to this Joker Sting that he does. And I don't remember who it was during the biggest radio show of the summer we had back in August. It was either Mr. Anonymous or Javid that had mentioned, here's a man who for a long time was known as a man that was never a speaker because of his gimmick, you know, the little crow thing or whatnot. Yeah. And now all of a sudden here he is, really great on the mic. That is a big change, at least in my opinion.
Yeah.
And that's a successful change, I thought.
I always thought Sting was good on the mic when he actually talked. I think the gimmick that he you know, portrayed, you know, did that for him. I think reinventing yourself. See, I found the Joker character that he played. I found it entertaining. And wacky and entertaining. But, I mean, you know, I don't know if it really was something I would want to see all the time, you know, for 2 or 3 years on at a time. You know, the little sprint he had as, you know, the Joker I thought was fun and entertaining and stuff that he did. But, I think it's interesting to see, you know, taking a character like the Crow and then going to, you know, the Joker. It's easily, you know, marketable. And I think fans know right away. I think one thing that when he was in WCW, people were like, he came in, had the white face paint. Some people were skeptical, you know, if he was playing that Crow character for sure. They were like, okay, he may be doing this kind of own thing. It's completely obvious to everybody watching that he totally ripped that off the Joker, but it worked, you know. And sometimes stuff like that for movies works as gimmicks. Yeah, I think that worked well.
To me, it was just so different, so the other route. Like, to me, it was just, especially when you think about how old Sting is, how many times does, like, an older wrestler really reinvent themselves to that level?
Not too many. Could you imagine if Ric Flair, when he was in his 50s, would have reinvented himself, you know, from the Nature Boy to good Lord knows what, you know? Sure.
Well, that's what he is now.
He could have been Borat.
I mean, any of these guys, Bret Hart, a Hulk Hogan, for the most part, they're just staying as themselves. You know, they don't reinvent themselves. Jeff, do you have anything to add in regards to this? I haven't heard from you in a while.
Oh, no. I liked the idea of the Joker Sting. I thought they played it a little bit too much. I would have liked a little bit more mystery. Not as much as, you know, Crow Sting, but, you know, a little bit more mystery than they had when they originally brought him out.
Mm-hmm. All right. The one other thing I want to talk about before we play this Daniel Bryan Santa Baby mix is, in regards to TNA, is Destination X, and the attempt of the resurgence of the X Division. This is more towards obviously Jeff and Mad Scientist, like I said, Bill. I know doesn't really follow that much. Do you feel that it's happened, or do you kind of feel we're in the same spot as we were before the pay per view?
I as of right now, I feel like you're definitely in the same spot with the X Division. The whole X Division is Austin Aries. That's 100 percent. They're trying to build up some newer guys, some younger guys. I don't think they really should have got rid of guys like Lethal. I don't think they should have got rid of guys like the Bucks. You know, they brought in these guys, you know, Zema Ion and Jesse Sorensen, and they're great athletes. But one thing that a lot of people hate on the X Division for is just being spot fest type guys, and none of them have characters. The only one that really has a flat out character that I highly enjoy is Austin Aries, and he is literally the whole X Division.
I agree with that.
I don't completely agree with that. There are other guys that have characters that could be X Division wrestlers, but they choose not to use them as X Division wrestlers. I'm talking about guys like, you know, Alex Shelley's. You know, I understand there's some injury issues with some of these guys. Let's go back and look at this. Years ago, your X Division, you know, fatal four-way matches were Chris Sabin, Alex Shelley, AJ Styles, and the Fallen Angel, Christopher Daniels. Now you look at it, the last pay-per-view, Austin Aries, who I think is a great talent, have a soft spot in my heart for him, obviously, he fought Kid Cash.
I don't think Kid Cash should be there at all.
Old man money.
I kind of liked it over the summer when they were bringing back the older X Division guys and giving them matches. I thought that was a pretty cool thing to do. But now, on a pay-per-view, Austin Aries, a guy who I think you could push past the X Division if you want to.
I agree.
Yeah.
You're putting him in there against Kid Cash. How is that going to push him?
And another thing, the height of the X Division was easily from 04 to 07 and 08. And I think, and I'm sure a lot of people listening might agree with me, the greatest match in TNA history is an X Division match. Christopher Daniels, AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, that first triple threat match. Yeah. It may very well be the greatest match TNA ever had. And look at where the X Division is now. And I'm saying this as someone who, you know, yes, I don't watch TNA, but I observe it, you know, read the results and all that. And to think 5-6 years ago, the X Division was either in the main event or near the main event. Now it's like in the first 3-4 matches of the show, which is sad because they have a good roster. And Sabin and Shelley are a great example, Jeff. You know, those guys, you know, well, Sabin's injured. I don't know what's happened with Shelley as of late.
There's a little debate on Shelley. So I heard some people say he's injured, but some people just say they're just not using him. I don't really know what the real story is for that.
Well, the X Division was defined.
Yeah.
Back 4, 5, 6 years ago, the X Division was defined. It had wire matches, and it was, you know, like you said, spot wrestling. Now the X Division. What's the difference between the X Division now, except you're using shorter, lighter guys? I mean, is that really what it is? Then call it a cruiserweight division. It wasn't a cruiserweight division 5 years ago. It was its own thing. It was defined.
Yeah, no limit. And I know they changed it. I know they changed it here recently this year. Bischoff changed it. I guess they had to change to where it technically is a cruiserweight division, and they're still marketing it as the X Division. But, you know, I don't know. I don't really know. I mean, it's kind of just faded, and I think when they had the Destination X pay-per-view, they had some great guys in those matches they had on Impact to bring in for that four-way. You know, have a guy like Jack Evans come back. Have a guy like, you know, Loki or whatever, Sinchi come back. Those guys are the guys that really, you know, put the X Division on the map, and then you have, you know, they want to take guys that, you know, nobody's heard of on the indies and bring them on there. Big-named indie guys, you bring them to you know, WWE or TNA, they have that fan base from the independents. Obviously, you look at Daniel Bryan. Obviously, you look at CM Punk. You know, you bring in a guy from the indies, you know, God forbid, if they could pick up a Davey Richards, you know, and put him on their roster and put him in the X Division, you know, something like that, who's already well-known, which I don't think will ever happen. But I think they want to take these young guys who nobody knows of and really put them in and work them like that.
And, you know, you mentioned the four-way match at Destination X, which I think was an awesome match, by the way. Probably my favorite match on that pay-per-view. I think they kind of shot themselves in the foot from a booking standpoint with that, because those four guys gave the match of the night, and maybe even for TNA for the year, in my opinion. And yet the match was only for a contract. So it's kind of hard to just have, from a logical standpoint, have the other three compete more. Like you know what it, like, compared to NXT. As much as I like the beginning of the Nexus storyline, I said right when the Nexus storyline said, then there's no point of NXT. Every single one of them got contracts. So what's the point of having a winner?
Yeah, and wasn't there a chant during that match where the fans were chanting, sign them all, sign them all?
Yeah, yeah, and one of them got signed.
Only one.
Zima. Yeah.
Zima Ion.
Yeah, I mean, if they could have signed all of them, I think there may be, you know, new life, because you could have new matches.
But that's what I'm saying is the problem is they shot themselves in the booking foot.
Exactly.
But regardless,
they need an Ultimate X match.
But you still got to look at the time for the Destination X also, I think, is interesting, because here's the, you know, situation where you have a guy like Eric Bischoff, and he still thinks, even in his age now, that young, high-flying type guys like the X Division guys don't make money in wrestling. They don't do anything in wrestling. They're just there to be there and to put on, you know, entertaining, high-flying matches. They don't make money. And that's the moniker that Eric Bischoff, I think, lives by, and you know, that's what it really hurts me. I think we talked about this, you know, me and Jim and Mr. Anonymous, when we did the Bound for Glory, talked about Austin Aries making that jump to the next level.
Yeah.
You know, with Bischoff still being there, would that happen? With Bischoff there?
It's definitely going to be questionable. All right, everyone, we're going to take another quick break here. We have the Daniel Bryan mix. Like I said, these mixes are now going to be coming back in the new year, 2012, considering we're all still here. When we come back, we'll go a little bit with Ring of Honor and then end hour number one. So here it is. It's Daniel Bryan, your World Heavyweight Champion, with the remix of Santa Baby. Now, I'm trying to remember who's in this. I'm going to say it's Puff Daddy, Mace, Onyx, and Salt and Pepper. That sounds about right. Yeah, yeah, this is a real gem right here on the Sunset Flip Wrestling Show.
Okay, they don't have the ability to judge by prejudice who they pick to be stars, okay? They need to pick guys who are the best people for this job and the best person for this job.
It was December 24th on Hollis Avenue.
Those people, you've got Vince McMahon in your ear telling you all the time to tell these people that I don't have it.
Yeah, and I do,
you
know? You
think because I don't watch television, because I'm a vegan, that I don't have it, that I don't have personality.
Yeah,
I have more personality in my little finger than you have in your whole being.
That ain't reality.
I mean, when I came to WWE, I heard about the politics here. I heard the nightmares. I heard all about that stuff. About how Vince McMahon loves big guys, and they like the guys that they make themselves, regardless of whether or not those people can come out here and engage the WWE universe.
From everyone here at the Sunset Flip Wrestling Show, we want to thank you for listening to our two-hour special, The End of the World Roundtable, right here on the Decadance Radio Network. All right, everyone, Jim Boy Star here, along with Jeff, Bill, and the Mad Scientist. It is the Sunset Flip Wrestling Show, and of course, the first of two official theme songs, My Christmas List, a song by me about what I want for Christmas. So, unfortunately, I guess because we pretty much talked WWE for like the first half hour and Impact Wrestling for the second hour, unfortunately, Ring of Honor got the shaft for this hour. But I think we're going to give them a little time at the beginning of next hour after Mr. Anonymous' segment to talk about the Sinclair stuff. Because honestly, I will remember that if we were to die in 2012. I'll think of how big could Ring of Honor have been if the world kept existing. But in the meantime, to close off this hour, I just want to get your thoughts on overall year. I'm talking wrestling in general. Doesn't even have to necessarily be just one promotion. How you felt the year went. Good, bad, decent, or just like every other year.
I think certain companies did, you know, had up and downs. WWE, I think, had an up and down year. Good parts, bad parts. TNA, some you know, honestly, my personal opinion on TNA this year, quite possibly their worst year ever, honestly. I think Turning Point was their worst pay-per-view they've ever had, and that's just my opinion on that. Ring of Honor had a consistent year, kind of a slow year, but okay. And then I think, you know, there's other companies, like if any of you guys follow New Japan or All Japan Wrestling, New Japan had a really good year.
Yeah, they had a good year.
Yeah, New Japan had a good year, and Wrestle Kingdom coming up looks absolutely fabulous. So, I mean, I would definitely say if you guys have not heard any of that or going to jump back into Japanese wrestling, you should definitely check out Wrestle Kingdom this year. But yeah, overall, a solid year for wrestling.
What about you, Jeff?
Well, I agree that most of them had an up and down year. The only one that obviously had the down point was TNA. They seem to have lost themselves. What I don't understand is when you take a formula of bringing in WWE cast-offs and using their popularity to try and push your program, wasn't there a guy in charge who was kind of in charge of TNA who already tried that on another station, say TBS, and it didn't work? And it seemed to me they got so engrossed in trying to pull the ex-WWE guys in there, they lost their identity. But hopefully, as you mentioned, Jim, you know, with James Storm now being pushed and Robert Roode now as the champion, and, you know, maybe they go back to their roots a little bit more. I look for them to have a huge rebound in 2012.
So do I, especially with this new direction, you know. Like I said, but again, is it too late? Are we all going to die? And, like, we'll never see it. Bill, what about your thoughts at the end of this year?
Overall, I thought it was a good year. Not the best year, but it was a good year. I think when we look back at it, especially towards the second half of this year, it was the time of the youth movement. WWE, you know, had Punk, Daniels, Zack Ryder, Evan Bourne, you know, Cody Rhodes, TNA. Yes, they're going, you know, they were going backwards a little bit, but they're using the originals to push. A Robert Roode, you know, James Storm, AJ Styles, and then Ring of Honor, you know, which in their own way is getting better and better. And, you know, they right now are the center of this youth movement that we are seeing in wrestling. And I really think in general it can only go up, you know, if there is a 2012 in wrestling.
Thank you. At least someone recognizes we might not be alive when that clock hits midnight. As far as I go, I'm going to try to wrap this up as we wrap up the first hour here on the Sunset Flip Wrestling Show, right here on Decadence Radio, End of the World Roundtable. Okay, WWE, yeah, they had some great moments. Off the top of my head, The Rock, the CM Punk promo, but honestly, to me at least, there were a lot more bad moments than there were good moments. TNA, you know, I enjoy TNA. I know it's not the popular thing to enjoy, but I do still like TNA as a whole, but I admit that, you know, there's a lot of things that had set them back. Like Bill said, though, in both companies, they're certainly set up to, you know, thrive in the new year. Out of all the major companies, Ring of Honor I found consistently entertaining and enjoyed them more than the other two companies this year, in regards to, you know, just their shows, their pay-per-views. And that's why it's really a shame that I was not able to fit the Sinclair buyout on this hour. But I assure you, after Mr. Anonymous's promo at the top of the next hour, we'll talk a little Ring of Honor. And then go over some more stuff in regards to that. So with that in mind, we're going to kick off hour number two right after this promo. Actually, it's not even really a promo. It is the word of the day. All right, everyone, Jim Boy Star here at you for your word of the day. And I'm not very excited about this particular word of the day because this could be the last word of the day ever. If only because 2012 might be the end of the world. So saddened by this. Today's word of the day is Lucent, L-U-C-E-N-T. The definition is shining, translucent, clear. Here's it used in a sentence. The film of evening light made the red earth lucent, so that its dimensions were deepened, so that a stone, a post, a building had greater depth and more solidity than in the daytime light. And that's from John Steinbeck, The Grapes of Wrath. Once again, the word of the day is lucent, L-U-C-E-N-T, shining, translucent, clear. And now I'm going to use it in regards to relating to pro wrestling.
Every day I'm shuffling.
The future of pro wrestling does not look lucent. If only because the end of the world, according to some, is upon us. And once again, that was your word of the day, lucent.
We get money, don't be mad. Stop. Hating is bad.